Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, September 21st, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks gain after yesterday's record close for U.S. equities.
NAFTA talks conclude with no deal between the U.S. and Canada.
Semiconductor stocks slump as new concerns about the industry emerge.
And another Tesla executive heads for the exit.
Supreme Court nominee Kavanaugh's accuser wants a Thursday Senate hearing. Plus, President Trump's ex-attorney is said to have talked with special counsel Mueller's team. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Tough night locally in sports as the Red Sox and Browns both celebrate at New York's expense.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker 2018 and a top online broker for the eighth consecutive year by Barron's. Visit ibkr.com/YIB to learn more.
U.S. futures and global stocks are gaining after yesterday's record close for the Dow and the S&P 500. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 3 points, Dow futures up 46, NASDAQ futures up about 12. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 3.08%, the yield on the 2-year 2.82%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 49 cents is $70.81 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.20 to $12.50 an ounce. The euro $1.1778, the yen 112.76. Bob.
The latest round of NAFTA talks concluded without a deal between the U.S. and Canada.
We're in the process of working now on Canada. We'll see what happens with Canada. Canada's been tough. They charge 300% tariffs on dairy products. Our farmers, no good. You can't do that. So we'll probably be able to we'll see what happens.
President Trump speaking to Fox News on the sidelines of last night's rally in Las Vegas. It's unclear when NAFTA talks will resume. Canada's chief negotiator, Chrystia Freeland, heads to Montreal today. Next week, she's in New York for the United Nations General Assembly.
The president, meanwhile, shows no sign of backing down from his trade war with China.
It's time to take a stand on China. We have no choice. You know, it's been a long time. They've been hurting us.
And unlike earlier rounds of tariffs on China, the president hasn't put a process in place for U.S. companies to get exemptions from the latest levies on $200 billion of Chinese goods. That's according to sources who tell Bloomberg the White House is justifying the decision by saying companies have more than 3 months to transition their supply chains away from China before tariffs take effect.
Still, that trade war showed no signs of weighing on sentiment in Asia today. Stocks closed out the week on a high note, with gains as high as 3% for Chinese indexes. Bloomberg's Juliet Saleh reports from Singapore.
Bob and Karen, Chinese stocks led gains, the CSI 300 posting its biggest win in more than a month amid speculation of state-backed buying. The TOPIX closed higher by nearly 1% in Tokyo, its sixth session of gains and highest closing level since May. Superlong JGBs fell after the Bank of Japan cut buying in a move seen by the market as stealth tapering, adding to speculation that the easy money era is ending. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Saleh, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. It's been a wild ride for Hong Kong's dollar today. The currency strengthened as much as 0.6% at one point for its biggest move in 15 years. Hong Kong keeps its dollar on one of the world's tightest leashes, with swings greater than 0.4% occurring only 3 times in the past 13 years. And derivatives dealers are bracing for more volatility, with a gauge of expected price swings doubling this morning.
The S&P 500 and Dow Jones Industrial Average begin the day at record highs. And we have what some call a quadruple witching day on Wall Street, with trading volumes that could be off the charts. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger explains.
It happens on the next to last Friday of every quarter. Futures and options on indexes and individual stocks expire, and market volume can surge. Bloomberg data show that S&P trading volume jumped 75% on the last quadruple witching day in June. With the added volume, there is also the potential for extra volatility, though that is not always the case. There could be some extra shuffling of money today by investors who track indexes. After the markets close, S&P Global will merge some internet and media stocks with phone companies to form a new group called Communication Services. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. Shares of Micron Technology are down about 5% in early trading. The memory chip maker gave a revenue forecast that fell short of estimates. And that's reviving fears about demand across the industry. Anand Srinivasan covers semiconductors for Bloomberg Intelligence.
The question is this a bump along the way? Is this a two-quarter, three-quarter demand correction where you can reduce inventory, have a little bit of a fire sale, and it's corrected? Or option B, have we returned to the semiconductor cycles of yore where you have 6 quarters worth of reconciliation that needs to be done and a substantial realignment of supply and demand?
The disappointing forecast from Micron also led to late trading losses for shares of Western Digital, Applied Materials, Lam Research, and AMD.
Yet another executive at Tesla is heading for the exit, Ed Baxter reports from the Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Liam O'Connor, Vice President of Global Supply Management, has resigned. Sources to Bloomberg suggest the promotion of a new president might have conflicted with O'Connor. He is at least the fifth senior executive, though, to be parting within the past few weeks. The company lost its chief accounting officer and heads of human resources and communication earlier this month. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. The battle to acquire Sky TV finally comes to a conclusion tomorrow. Bloomberg's Joe Mays reports from London.
The long-running takeover battle between Rupert Murdoch's 21st Century Fox and Comcast for British pay TV company Sky will come to a dramatic conclusion this weekend with an auction for the prized European media asset. Sky's shares already trading well in excess of the current offers on the table as investors expect some fireworks. How high will Sky go? Time will tell. In London, Joe Mays, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Joe. And on the economic front, expansion in the euro area edged lower in September as manufacturing export orders slumped to the weakest level in 5 years. IHS Markit's Composite Purchasing Managers Index slowed to 54.2 this month. That's down from 54.5 in August and below economists' forecast for no change. S&P futures at this hour up by 2 points, less than a tenth of 1%. And that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. More calls for a delay in confirming the Supreme Court nominee. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the very latest. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The woman who is accusing Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault is asking that the Senate Judiciary Committee push back Monday's hearing to Thursday. Lawyers for Christine Blasey Ford do not want Kavanaugh in the room when she testifies. An aide says Ford also asked that Mark Judge, who she says was in the room when the alleged attack occurred more than 30 years ago, be called to testify. Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York says they are not treating Ford fairly.
Why not have Mark Judge testify under oath to the FBI and then in front of the committee? What are they afraid of? Ask the question, what are they afraid of? What is this White House afraid of? What is this president afraid of?
Meanwhile, Kavanaugh says he will be there for Monday's hearing, and he is prepared to clear his name of the allegation. President Trump says he was elected because the American people want him to pick the best Supreme Court justices. Trump spoke in Las Vegas last night.
And I'm not saying anything about anybody else, but I want to tell you that Brett Kavanaugh is one of the finest human beings you will ever have the privilege of knowing or meeting.
President Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, is said to have had several lengthy interviews over the last month with special counsel Robert Mueller's team. Cohen pleaded guilty in August to several counts, including tax evasion and campaign finance violations. Theresa May's Brexit plan has fallen into disarray after European leaders told the British Prime Minister her vision in how the UK leaves the European Union does not work. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo has more from Salzburg.
In a summit in Salzburg, Austria, the EU27 told the UK Prime Minister she will have to bring new ideas to the table in a new summit scheduled for October. Now that, according to the EU27, will be the moment of truth that could determine whether a Brexit deal is possible. In the meantime, the UK Prime Minister does insist the UK will leave the European Union deal or no deal March next year. Maria Tadeo, Bloomberg Daybreak, Salzburg.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:09 on Wall Street. That's time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. The Yankees stood by and watched the Red Sox clinch the division 11-6 at the stadium, thanks in part to a Mookie Betts three-run home run. Betts went 4-for-5 with 5 RBI, but the Yankees try and keep things in perspective. Just ask Giancarlo Stanton.
They've had a solid year. I mean, you can't deny that, and you never want it to be here that they get it, but we gave it what we got, and they can celebrate now, and we got time to celebrate later.
Yankees' lead is trimmed to a game and a half over the A's for the top wild card spot, as Oakland was busy beating up on the Angels 21-3 by the Bay. Orioles are in town tonight. CC Sabathia goes to work at 7:05. Mets beat the Nationals 5-4 in 12 innings on the road. A sac fly scoring Ahmed Rosario was the difference. Series continues on Friday as Jacob deGrom climbs the hill for New York. NFL Week 3 officially underway, although the Jets fans wish it weren't. Cleveland beat New York 21-17 for their first win since Christmas Eve 2016. Jets quarterback Sam Darnold gave credit to number one overall pick, quarterback Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I thought they rallied pretty good around him, but at the same time, I just got to continue to do my job and keep the offense rolling. I'm not worried about that.
Mayfield was 17 of 23, while Darnold was picked off twice, 15 of 31 with a quarterback rating of 38. The Giants visit the Texans, both teams 0-2. That's Sunday at 1. In golf, Tiger Woods and Ricky Fowler are tied atop the leaderboard at 5-under par after round 1 of the Tour Championship from Atlanta. Tiger eagled the 18th hole on Thursday. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Bushka. Please join us tonight for Bloomberg Business of Sports, where we speak to Brooklyn Nets CEO Brett Yormack. He oversees the business enterprise that manages and controls the basketball team and the Barclays Center. Tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 on Bloomberg Radio, or download our Apple podcast on iTunes. Again, Brooklyn Nets CEO Brett Yormark. And it's the look ahead to start your week, the weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak, where we get you ready for the coming week on Wall Street. Listen in tomorrow at 5 a.m., again at 4 p.m., and Sunday mornings at 9 on Bloomberg Radio.
This weekend, you could see
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow at 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Erin Roman at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Karen. It's a busy day for equity markets, with quadruple witching when futures and options on indexes and stocks expire. We also get the largest revision to the Global Industry Classification Standard since 1999. S&P will merge some internet and media stocks with phone companies to form a new group called Communication Services. Senate Republicans must decide whether to wait to hear from Brett Kavanaugh's accuser or push ahead with a hearing on Monday. Doing so could risk deterring female voters in November. There's no sign of a breakthrough on trade. President Trump continues berating China, while NAFTA talks have missed another deadline. And the rally in semiconductor stocks may be losing steam. Micron shares are tumbling this morning after a weak forecast. The company also says that tariffs on Chinese goods may dent profitability. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Erin, thank you. S&P futures up 2 points this morning. Dow futures up 46. NASDAQ futures up about 8. The DAX in Germany's up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds, yield 3.08%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.82%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 44 cents to $70.76 a barrel. COMEX gold little change at $12.11.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1777. The yen, 112.75. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump's ex-attorney, Michael Cohen, is said to have talked with Special Counsel Mueller's team about any business dealings with Russia. People familiar with the matter said Cohen was asked about Trump's business dealings with Russia. A private survey found that the Republican National Committee finds that former Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is actually more popular than President Trump when the midterm election is framed as a contest between the two. The poll, conducted on September 2nd by Public Opinion Strategies and obtained by Bloomberg Businessweek, shows overall Pelosi is at 50% to 45% for Trump. In the NFL, the Jets lost to the Browns 21-17. It's the first Browns win since December of 2016. In baseball, the Red Sox clinched the AL East title after beating the Yankees. The Mets downed the Nationals. The A's won. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. OPEC and its allies seem set for another contentious meeting in Algeria this weekend as Iran, wounded by U.S. sanctions, cries betrayal and threatens to veto decisions. And does any of that really matter for the oil market? I have a hunch how Bloomberg Oil Brief editor Christopher Sell is going to answer that question this morning. Good morning, Chris. Are we back to doubting the, shall we say, cohesiveness of OPEC?
Yeah, good morning. I think you're right in many ways. Contentious is very much a word. It's going to be is a word used for this meeting. And does it really matter? Probably not. You're right, because you know, while on the surface it's quite a key meeting. The idea is OPEC and its allies are all going to be gathering to work out ways of implementing the production increase that was agreed. Let's not forget in June at the OPEC meeting in Vienna, that decision was made, of course, because the output cut agreement had ostensibly, achieved its goal, which was to bring stockpiles down below the five-year average. So everyone said, right, let's start ramping up production. How do we do that? That's what this meeting is meant to be about on Sunday. However, of course, there's so many other factors. Iran is not happy about this because obviously it's going to be hit with sanctions on November the 4th. No one essentially is going to be allowed. Will not take, shall we say, Iran crude. There are lots of sort of debate. There's lots of debate over how the agreement in June should be implemented. Basically, there's a squabble over the wording of it. Who can increase output? You know, to what extent of it? Basically, does it matter? Not really, because Saudi Arabia and Russia have already started increasing production. You know, Russia, Bloomberg reported this week, is at post-Soviet highs, and Saudi Arabia has increased its production by about 500,000 barrels a day since May. So they've already started doing that. That's obviously upsetting Iran because essentially that is cutting into Iran's market share. People are taking less Iran crude. Saudi and Russia are happily putting more on the market.
This sort of points to the tweet that Donald Trump sent out yesterday. He said, we protect the countries of the Middle East. They would not be safe for very long without us, and yet they continue to push for higher and higher oil prices. We will remember the OPEC monopoly must get prices down now. Is that going to have any effect?
Well, it's Trump's decision to push to slap on the sanctions on Iran, which is taking all the Iran crude out of the market, which is pushing prices up. So I don't think it's particularly helpful, and price did actually rally slightly on the back of that. But essentially, it's really what Saudi Arabia, frankly, finds itself between a rock and a hard place, and OPEC doesn't as well. Saudi Arabia doesn't necessarily want to upset its American ally, quite obviously, but at the same time, it really wants OPEC to survive and continue and thrive. And how is it going to do that if it basically continues to if it doesn't actually increase production? If it does that, though, Iran's going to be very upset, and Iran might get OPEC members as well upset, and it could all blow up in everyone's faces, and then, we're having more angst in Vienna at the next meeting at the end of the year.
So out of this meeting in Algeria, what are you expecting the primary achievement to be?
I think, to be honest, if they can somehow dictate some good language, which implies that perhaps everyone on the surface is content to try and raise output. The problem is only really Saudi Arabia and Russia have the spare capacity. Between those two, they pretty much have three quarters of the spare capacity available to increase output. So frankly, they can say what they like, but not many countries are actually in any position in OPEC to start increasing output. So I think they will just continue to do what they do. Iran can threaten to veto and get other members to veto the decision any decision made, which it feels would, you know, which could harm the country.
Okay.
However, a veto is one thing, but it doesn't actually stop anything. No one can actually make another country not do what it wants to do. They can veto a decision. They can't actually force a policy change.
Bloomberg Oil Brief Editor Christopher Sell, thank you very much for joining us. Right now, West Texas Intermediate crude at $70.73 a barrel, Brent crude at $79.35. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are rising around the world as we close out the trading week. U.S. futures are higher following record closes for both the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500. Europe's Stock 600 is up for a sixth straight session, and stocks in Asia capped their strongest two-week rally since February.
It could be a volatile session in the U.S. It's quadruple witching day. That's when futures and options on indexes and individual stocks expire.
A big move for the Hong Kong dollar overnight. At one point, it rose 0.6% for its biggest gain in 15 years.
And now the latest on trade. Another deadline has come and gone with no NAFTA agreement between the U.S. and Canada. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
Time is running out for Canada and the U.S. to reach an agreement by the latest deadline American officials are aiming for under American trade law in order to sign a deal before Mexico's incoming president takes office. Text of the agreement has to be published by September 30th, meaning a high-level agreement is needed imminently to allow time for it to be converted to legal text. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. President Trump has told Fox News it's time to take a stand on China, saying, quote, they're hurting us. The next round of tariffs take effect on Monday.
In deal news, Adobe Systems has agreed to buy software maker Marketo for almost $4.8 billion. That's Adobe's biggest acquisition ever.
Shares of Micron Technology down more than 5%. The largest U.S. maker of memory chips gave a revenue forecast that fell short of estimates.
And shares of Tilray are down another 8% this morning following yesterday's 17% sell-off. The pot stock is still up more than 900% since its July IPO. It's now 6:32 on Wall Street. That's time for your volatility index report. And the VIX rose yesterday to close at 1180. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is up still, now up to 1193. And that's this morning's volatility report.
Futures this morning, now little change to higher. S&P futures up 1.5 points, giving up some of their gains. Dow futures up 42. NASDAQ futures up 6.5. The DAX in Germany's up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 3.07%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.81%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 41 cents to $70.73 a barrel. And COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.10 to $12.10.20 an ounce. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 6:33 on Wall Street. The very latest on the Brett Kavanaugh story from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Lawyers for the woman accusing Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault asked the Senate Judiciary Committee to push back a hearing on her claims to Thursday. Attorneys for Christine Blasey Ford say she could not appear on Monday as committee chairman Chuck Grassley wants. President Trump called Kavanaugh one of the finest human beings you will ever meet. Trump spoke in Las Vegas last night.
A great gentleman, an impeccable reputation, went to Yale, top student, went to Yale Law School, top student.
It's arguably President Trump's most tangible legislative achievement. But some Republicans believe they might have a hard time running on tax cuts in the November midterms. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager explains.
We've lost the messaging battle. That's what the Republican National Committee is saying in an internal poll about last year's Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. The survey conducted by the GOP firm Public Opinion Strategies and obtained by Bloomberg News shows voters are split on whether they approve of the tax overhaul. 44% favor it, while 45% oppose. But asked who benefits from the new tax law, 61% say large corporations and rich Americans. Just 30% say middle-class families. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
Investigators working for Special Counsel Robert Mueller are said to have interviewed President Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen. According to two people familiar with the matter, Cohen was asked by investigators about Trump's business and any business dealings with Russia. Florence has come and gone, but her effects are still being felt. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper says a state of emergency will not be lifted anytime soon. Cooper says rising floodwaters are proving to be more deadly than at the height of the storm.
Many storm deaths occur after the storm has passed, especially when rivers overflow their banks or when people try to cross flooded roads or drive around barricades.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. The Yankees were denied a sweep of the Red Sox, who more importantly toasted the division after downing New York 11-6 at the stadium. Probable MVP candidate Mookie Betts went 4-for-5 with 5 RBI and a 3-run home run. This one hurt, said skipper Aaron Boone.
You know, just a long, tough, slug-it-out game, and, you know, they just came up with more big offensive plays than we did.
New York seized their lead over Oakland for the top wild card, slipped to a game and a half as Oakland wiped out the Angels 21-3 at home. The Orioles, who despite having the worst record in baseball, have played the Yankees tough this year, nearly .500. They're in town tonight. CC Sabathia climbs the hill for the Yankees. Mets played efficient baseball in Washington, downing the Nationals 5-4 in 12 innings. Ahmed Rosario scored on a sacrifice fly to win it. Mets continue their four-game series from D.C. as Jacob deGrom continues his historically low ERA season. 3 weeks into Jets quarterback Sam Darnold's career, he's had two primetime games, and this was truly one to forget. It doesn't happen often. In fact, 635 days since Cleveland's last win, Christmas Eve 2016. 21-17, the final. They beat the Jets. Vegas was in line. They had Cleveland as a 3-point favorite. Jets coach Todd Bowles.
So we lost our composure in doing the things we did right in the first half. We didn't do right in the second half. And there was a guy here or there, and they were the same piece.
One person not talking, safety Jamal Adams, who avoided reporters and refused a PR rep's request to face them. Giants visit the Texans on Sunday, both teams in search of their first win. In golf, Tiger Woods shot an opening round 65 to share the lead with Ricky Fowler at the Tour Championship from Atlanta. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Buschka. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
As promised, President Trump has escalated his war against China. Nearly half of China's exports to the U.S. now face Trump's tariffs. The president boasts that this will bring in a lot of revenue. But remember where that revenue will come from. Trump's tariffs are first and foremost a tax on American consumers. They'll also hurt U.S. companies and further undermine the rules-based global trading system. Trump's goal should not be to shrink trade with China, much less to cripple its economy. It should be to encourage China to be a better economic partner. Trump administration officials have indicated the president is open to meeting his Chinese counterpart, Xi Jinping. Between now and then, Trump should try to make it easier, not harder, for Xi to strike a deal. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. The Trump administration may have made revisions to its military transgender ban, but a federal judge is keeping the ban from taking effect. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The administration's changes submitted earlier this year were found to have altered very little from the first draft.
The judge said that the March ban was effectively the same as the policy that the president had implemented in August and went ahead and kept the temporary restraining order in place.
Bloomberg Law's Terrence Hyland says judges have also ordered the administration to produce information that it's withheld while defending its policy in court. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Hoist the mainsail. Shipowners are using wind again. Merchant shippers are trying out bold new approaches in their quest to improve environmental performance. They face intense regulatory pressure. Among the ideas, a hybrid solution that uses wind-propelled sails to reduce up to 20% of propulsion power for offshore vessels. So far, the sails have been proven to reduce 6.8% of emissions from the ship that's being tested. Like ships of old, this sail relies on the wind, but it's not what you're thinking if you're envisioning a big sheet of Boeing fabric on a ship operated by Maersk Tankers. Hoisting the mainsail involves a tall vertical pipe, a rotor sail that stands almost 100 feet high. Shipowners have been tasked with cutting their carbon releases in half by 2050.
Live on the land, we must learn from the sea.
And they handle about 90% of trade worldwide. And that is the Bloomberg Green Business Report. Well, did you wait in line for your Apple XS? Hundreds of consumers lined up at Apple stores around the world either the day before or in the early hours this morning before the iPhone XS and the iPhone XS Max went on sale today. Many consumers were seen lining up at the Orchard Road store in Singapore despite hot weather. Other outlets, such as the IFC Mall in Hong Kong, had much shorter lines as sales were largely restricted to those that had already ordered. At 8:30 a.m. London, about 250 people were queuing to enter Apple's flagship store on Regent Street. And that is Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Racatina Land Rover. Let every adventure begin in a 2018 Range Rover Velar. For special limited-time lease and finance offers, visit Land Rover Edison, a Racatina dealership.
Bloomberg Business Week. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com. And futures this morning, little change to higher now. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Modest gains in the U.S. futures right now. Dow futures up 42 points. S&P's gained 2. And NASDAQ futures climbed by 7. The U.S. 10 yield at 3.08%. Oil is climbing. And Shanghai gained 2.5% overnight. European markets are also trading higher this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing and services PMIs. And after the bell last night, Micron gave a forecast that missed estimates. Shares are down 5.6% in the pre-market. And Adobe said they're going to buy Marketo for $4.75 billion. In other news, JP Morgan raised its Q4 oil forecast. And wrapping things up, Diamond Offshore was upgraded to buy at HSBC. Under Armour upgraded to neutral at JP Morgan. AT&T upgraded to buy at UBS. And Acuity Brands upgraded to outperform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thank you, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Christine Blasey Ford would testify next week to a Senate committee about her allegation Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her when both were high school students, if they can agree to fair terms. That's from her lawyer, who says the preference would be for Ford to testify next Thursday, and she does not want Kavanaugh in the same room. President Trump issued an order making it easier for the U.S. to launch cyber attacks. It brings the potential for a counterattack if a foreign government is found to try to meddle in congressional elections in November. In the NFL, they're drinking free beer in Cleveland after the Jets lost to the Browns 21-17. It's the first Browns win since December of 2016. In baseball, the Red Sox clinched the AL East title after beating the Yankees. The Mets downed the Nationals. The A's won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, scientists studied what happens when an octopus gets high on ecstasy. Researchers from Johns Hopkins found the creature became more sociable when taking MDMA, which releases serotonin. Bob, according to the report in the New York Times, the experiment showed octopi prefer to spend more time with their kind and hug things during a Molly High.
You're kidding, right? You're kidding.
I am not Squidward, not at all.
An octopus on ecstasy.
Yeah.
I guess if they want to hug things, they've got plenty of tentacles to do it, huh?
All eat them. Global News, 24 hours a day. You look disgusted. On air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael, I think. And we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time we check in on what's going on in D.C. The agenda today in our nation's capital includes President Trump participating in a roundtable with supporters in Las Vegas before heading to Missouri for a Make America Great Again rally. Meantime, the latest round of NAFTA talks concluded with no deal between the U.S. and Canada. And Senate Republicans must now decide whether to wait to hear from Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's accuser or push ahead with a hearing on Monday. It's a move that risks damaging the GOP's standing with female voters ahead of the midterm elections. Let's get more on this now from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning. This back and forth has got to be giving a lot of people headaches, not the least of which might be Republican strategists. What sort of situation do Republicans find themselves in here?
Well, it's definitely a tricky one for Republicans. And in some ways, you know, arguably they're not doing themselves any favors by sort of moving the ball a bit in terms of what it is that they're willing to consider. So basically the situation they're in now is Ford, the accuser, has essentially asked for the hearing to be delayed until Thursday and also for additional witnesses to be added. And what Republicans have offered is a hearing on Monday where only she and Kavanaugh would testify. And essentially Ford's point is that she claims there are potentially corroborating witnesses who also should be called to testify. And so far, Republicans have shown no indication of a willingness to do that. And I think the concern, on the part of party strategists is what the optics of essentially, bringing in a woman to testify, and having her be grilled by a panel of all male Republican senators. I think there's a concern that the optics of that might not be great, and also potentially if Ford doesn't show up, that the optics of that might not be great either.
And you've got a number of Democratic lawmakers, women, who are saying, what's the rush?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, again, it's important to look at, in terms of these optics, the makeup of the Judiciary Committee. There are several women on the Democratic side of the dais, but not any on the Republican side. And I think the women lawmakers in particular on the Democratic side are trying to be the ones that are going to be making the case to say, hey, why do we have to rush through this? Why don't we give some more time to come in and thoroughly evaluate what are some serious allegations? And I think that, what's important to keep in mind is on the Republican side, they've said all along that they want to have Kavanaugh confirmed by October 1st, which is the start of the court's new term. So for them, if they don't make that deadline, I think they worry that the risk is that it will just keep getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back.
So speaking of the midterms, it was the Rust Belt states that propelled Donald Trump to the White House. Ahead of the midterm elections, we have a little bit better of an idea on how his support is doing there.
Yeah, so there's three states, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, which all went for Trump and kind of were surprising to Democrats. Pennsylvania in particular, I think, was kind of the nail in the coffin for Hillary Clinton's campaign. And so I think, it has always been viewed that those are states that, where Democrats should have strong support. And it was surprising they didn't in 2016. And I think that it certainly bodes well for the party that it looks as though Trump's policies aren't, very popular there and that the Democratic candidates in those states are doing well and outperforming their Republican counterparts.
And ahead of those midterms also, we're getting the latest tally on fundraising efforts in the House.
Yeah, so in August, for the seventh straight month, the DTRIP, the DCCC, which is the House Democrats campaign arm, has outraised the National Republican Congressional Committee, which is the fundraising apparatus for House Republicans. And so basically, there are a lot of factors that indicate how well a party's going to do in an election cycle, but fundraising is one of them because in some ways, it is both a measure of the enthusiasm of the party's supporters, which might translate into them coming to the polls, and it's also indicative of how how much resources each party is going to have at their disposal. So the fact that Democrats continue to, you know, each month outpace Republicans in the House is just one more indication that they may do very well in November.
Very quickly, just a short time left, but Bloomberg Businessweek has obtained an internal GOP poll that's drawing interest this morning. What does it tell us?
Yes, this is super interesting, especially because it's a GOP internal poll, which would seem to maybe favor Republicans over Democrats, if anything. But basically, in a head-to-head matchup between Trump and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic leader, it looks like Pelosi is outmatching Trump. And that's pretty significant because she's widely been considered to be kind of a boogeyman figure by Republicans and someone they can paint as very, very liberal and traditionally hasn't been super popular among independents. So that's certainly an interesting polling data.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hutter, thank you very much. It is now 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. We've all heard of the gender gap in politics. In many close races, most men vote for the Republican and most women for the Democrat. But two widespread ideas about the gap are myths. The first myth is that it's about abortion. Pollsters consistently find only small differences between the views of men and women on that issue. The second myth is that the gender gap hurts Republicans. Large gender gaps are compatible with Republican victories, and growing ones are compatible with Republican gains. Between the presidential elections of 2012 and 2016, Pennsylvania flipped from Democrats to Republicans, even as its gap grew. If this year's elections go badly for Republicans, many analysts will blame the gender gap, even though a poor showing among women is just what you'd expect in any bad Republican year. What's rarely noted is that over the years, Republicans' weakness among women hasn't been any more electorally consequential than Democrats' weakness among men. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
Amazon has launched a new section of its site called Amazon Storefronts, which only lists products sold by small and medium-sized businesses in the U.S. Amazon says smaller companies can get lost among its millions of goods, and it wants a way for shoppers to find them more easily. The company says more than 1 million products from about 20,000 businesses were selected to be featured on the site based on ratings from customers. The new site is also a way for Amazon to try to boost its image at a time when it's facing scrutiny for its growing power, as well as continued criticism that it's taking business from small shops. Earlier this year, it released a report that said half of the items purchased on Amazon come from small and medium-sized businesses. Amazon storefronts will be promoted on the online retailer's front, and Amazon also says it isn't charging small businesses to appear on storefronts. The company says it plans to add more companies over time. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures, little change now, giving up their gains. Dow futures up 31, NASDAQ futures up almost 2. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 3.07%. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.